Countless women attend church each Sunday with a smile plastered to their faces, even while their hearts are aching. They fear anyone finding out what a mess they really are. So they spend their energy trying to say and do all the right things to convince everyone, including God, that they have it all together. Few have any idea that the Creator of the universe is looking at them with delight, even on the days when they yell at the dog, glare at their fellow drivers, or fall apart at work. Hi, this is editor Laura Barker, and I have the pleasure of introducing you to Lisa Harper, author of A Perfect Mess. Lisa is known to thousands of women across the country as a lively and engaging speaker who has a unique ability to touch hearts. Her powerful storytelling unforgettably connects ancient truths from the Bible with the realities of modern-day living. Lisa has been lauded by best-selling author Max Lucado as one of the best Bible tour guides around, and she's been profiled on the cover of Today's Christian Woman magazine. In 2009, she'll be a featured speaker at 14 national Women of Faith conferences. But Lisa is definitely not your typical Bible teacher. She enjoys breaking through that church lady stereotype and has been known to roar into a stadium on her Harley or rappel from the rafters down to the speaking platform. This motorcycle mama with a degree in theology has a vibrant personality, a storyteller's heart, a rebel's outlook on legalistic Christianity, and a burning passion for God and the Bible. In her new book, A Perfect Mess, Lisa tackles the myths about perfection that so often leave women feeling guilty, inadequate, and unworthy of God's love. With humor and grace, she guides readers through selected passages from the Psalms of the Old Testament that reveal how God's perfect love can transform our imperfect lives. Combining storytelling and Bible teaching with interactive questions, she inspires women to openly acknowledge their anger, frustrations, flaws, and regrets, and hand them over to God, trusting Him to exchange their junk for His joy. Lisa joins us today from her home in Nashville. Welcome, Lisa.
Hey, Laura. It's good to talk to you.
First, can you briefly explain the title of your book, A Perfect Mess?
Sure. I love the juxtaposition of the words perfect and mess, because I think it's an apt description of how our God is absolutely righteous and His people, us, we are just ragamuffins. It's a synopsis of the gospel, how we have this perfect God who condescends to adore and redeem messy people like me.
When you talk about messy people like you, are there some of your own life experiences that inspired you to write this book then?
Unfortunately, Laura, there are a long, long list of experiences. I'll tell you, a recent one, I was at a women's conference at Mackinac Island in Upper Michigan, and we were staying at the Grand Hotel. There are about 1,000 Christian women, and the hotel is just this beautiful old hotel with this wonderful grand staircase that spirals down. It's probably 10 feet wide with the mahogany banisters and velvet carpeting. It's just very, very beautiful. And I was coming down that staircase into the main room where all the women were, and I was feeling a little full of myself that evening. I was wearing a new outfit. It's a very dressy hotel. You have to dress for dinner, and so I had on new heels and a new flouncy skirt, and I was thinking, you know, I don't look half bad for a middle-aged Bible teacher. And I waltzed down the staircase, and I walked over and was talking to a group of women, and this woman came up behind me, and I felt her touch my bottom, which I thought, well, that was odd. And I turned around, and she whispered, "Your skirt was tucked into your underwear." So here I had come all the way down that staircase feeling so full of myself, but accidentally flashed most of the women there. And so that is just a metaphor for my whole life. I am so often making mistakes, and I'm such a bumbling believer. And I do think that's why I identify so much with the psalmist, because when you read through the Psalms, it just seems like they're the same way. They're such imperfect people who are loved and adored by this perfect God.
Are you hearing from women in your travels that they are feeling that same sort of frustration, some struggles that convince you that this book is needed?
Oh, absolutely. I was at a conference just a few weeks ago, and this beautiful young woman came up to me afterwards, and she had this baby who was just darling. And she, after a while, once we got into a private place, told me that she had had this little guy out of wedlock. She had had become a Christian in high school, gone to a Christian college, and fell in love with this guy and had this child out of wedlock. And she just felt like, you know what, there's a big F on the rest of my life. There's no way that God could ever use me again. And I certainly will never have any credibility among Christians because I have this huge, massive sin in my life. And as we just talked about the gospel and the reality that all of us mess up, that's the reason Jesus came. That's the whole point of the gospel, is we're a mess and we need a Messiah. We talked through that, and we talked about how no one of the saints, if you will, in Scripture was without sin. They all messed up. You know, Moses murdered, Paul murdered, David was an adulterer. As we talked through that, I could just kind of see the hope begin to build in this young woman's countenance as she just began to believe a little bit, maybe he could still use me. Maybe my life isn't over, you know, at 22. And so, yeah, I hear that all the time. Some women's, oh, their facades might be a little more sophisticated as they try to pretend like they have it all together, but almost to a woman, when I'm on the road, whether they're 70 or 17, they will end up sharing some major mistake they've made and how they've really listened to a lie and believe that that could never be redeemed. So it is a joy for me to get to go on the road and tell women, no, God loves imperfect people. He not only forgives us, he redeems us, and then even allows us to be used again.
What do you think is the key message that you really hope readers walk away from this book with?
I hope what readers walk away with is a clear understanding, maybe a bigger understanding, if you will, of how much God loves them. In spite of their resume, in spite of their mistakes, in spite of their frailties, those places where maybe they thought, I've conquered this area of weakness, and then the next month they slip in that area again, to realize that God's forgiveness is absolute and his affection for us never wanes. His love doesn't wax and wane the way so many times human affection does or human approval does. For people to really get the and I say that, but I don't think any person can fully get the expanse of God's love.